Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we are, Super Talk Eagle Hour, back on the air, broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob, Kelly, and Dima, we're glad you're with us. We're going to talk a lot of football with you today. We're going to be hearing from Troy head coach Gerard Parker, Southern Miss players Tate Rodemaker and Dennis Jackson, and here in a moment, the new offensive coordinator for the Golden Eagles on the Eagle Hour as well. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to take your family for a great meal any day of the week, and a great place to cater your next event. Football tailgating coming up, so make sure Dickey's is high on your list when it comes to your tailgate menus. They can do it for you no matter the size of your get-together. All right, football day two underway. As I say, we've got two players to share some thoughts with you, as well as one of the opposing head coaches. But first, our man Dima Mixon was at practice again today. Set the stage, Dima. You talk to the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's something different that Southern Miss is doing this season, where they're kind of saying when we get which person to talk to. So today's offensive coordinator, tomorrow's defensive coordinator, so on and so forth throughout the week. So it's good talking with Chip Long today. Most of the same as yesterday at practice today. Obviously, they're in helmets, no pads. The pads come on tomorrow. A few notes for you, Southern Miss listeners. If you're in tune with Southern Miss Athletics, you'll know what I'm talking about here. So Braxton Myers, looks like they've moved him from safety to cornerback. He was running with the ones a little bit today. He kind of traded in and out with Michael Caraway Jr. So, again, Braxton Myers, he's a freshman, a guy they were really excited about getting in this class. They moved him to cornerback. I think that might be to give them some more depth on the cornerback, because they moved, obviously, Jay Jones back to where MJ Daniels was. So that was an interesting thing. I just noticed it today. I didn't notice it yesterday. Rodemaker and Ethan Crawford looked really good today. Crawford had a nice rollout pass that he was kind of under duress and then threw it to the sidelines, and it was a great play. Rodemaker threw just a beautiful deep ball to Keyshawn Buckley, and Buckley took it to the house, and he came right by me and he said, "How was that?" So it was pretty funny. But they were able to run the full 11 on 11, so we kind of got our first look at the potential depth chart. Obviously, it's still early day two, so nothing certain, but I think they're pretty set on their offensive line right now. So that's going to be, if you're going left to right, if you're standing at the quarterback position, you're looking at left guard. That's going to be Gabe Cavazos. Zach Conte, who's that transfer from Eastern Michigan, is going to be there at left tackle. And then at center, they had Drew Lawson at center. I think that's probably the only position that's probably that one that could get shifted out a little bit. Right guard, that was Dante Lucas, and that's the obviously the South Alabama transfer that I mentioned yesterday, who I thought is just a beast. He's just a beast of a human. He obviously has like something like 3,000 snaps or something like that. He has a lot of experience, and that was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, group of five transfers to come to Southern Miss over the offseason. And then on the very end, that was Greg Nunnery that they got also. So I think the offensive line is pretty set. And again, we talked to Chip Long about the offense. Go ahead.
On the offensive line, you were talking about first Cavazos. He was a Mississippi State signee initially, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Correct.
And you were talking about the guys on the right side and why they're so important, because you got both Crawford and Rodemaker are both right-handed, so that's their blind side.
Yes.
So the protection on that right side has to be especially good. So I'm glad to hear that that's shaping up.
Yeah, I think that would be the left side if those were blind, right? You're thinking left side?
Right.
Am I? Yeah, that's right.
Left side, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah. Cavazos and Conti on that left side.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. So we talked to Chip Long, and I wanted to ask him specifically about Jaden Reed, who is one of the – Justin Reed, excuse me, who's one of the tight ends that is coming back from last season. But he's just this big physical presence, but he runs like a wide receiver. So he was offensive coordinator Chip Long on Justin Reed.
Last year, I know Justin Reed played a little bit as a freshman. He's back and really been very impressive. The start of fall camp, in shape, looks fast, big, done a great job this summer getting his body right, which has just helped his confidence. So, you know, it's year two of a guy who's played college football. So it's been exciting to see his confidence grow each and every day.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Justin, and I noticed he's a big physical presence, but he can almost run like a wide receiver.
Yeah, no, he's done a great job. You know, I recruited Justin when I was at Georgia Tech, and so I'm glad he's here. And so he's been very impressive. You know, with all the offensive guys, he's probably one of the guys who stand out the last.
Yeah, so he said out of all the offensive guys the first 2 days of fall camp, Justin Reed stand out the most. With Southern Miss's offense this season, you're going to see a lot of bunch formations. That's going to be a lot of, like, in the eye, a lot of under center, screen passes, running plays. And they, you know, bring out that tight end up the seam or a little to the right. And if Justin Reed gets the ball, he's a big they have him listed here. I think he's a little bit bigger than this, but 6'5", 255, which is a just ginormous tight end there for the Golden Eagles.
Is there any type of screen they haven't run yet, Dima? Because when I was there yesterday, there were types of screens that I'd never even seen before.
Yeah,
they were clearly screen passes.
Yeah,
but
I think that's probably to their strength because their wide receiver core is obviously a big question mark. So getting the ball within their playmakers with blockers in front, you know, if you can move the ball, it's almost an addition to the run game, if you will. So the next thing that we talked about with Chip Long is the offensive line, but also kind of his way of coaching. It's a different way of coaching the offense than I think a lot of Southern Miss fans are accustomed to. He's not by any means a quote unquote nice guy on the practice field. He says when you're in between those white lines, you're in my space, and if you don't like that, you can go play somewhere else. And you can hear that right here.
Yeah, just more competition, more guys growing. You know, the ability's there. We just got to get in shape and get playing together, communicating a little bit better. But the talent's there. I like the makeup of the group. We just got to get out there and play, get the pads on. And, you know, these next 12 days really just galvanize this team and start preaching toughness each and every day. But we ask those guys to do a lot. But they've done a nice job from spring to now.
Let's do one more for Coach.
With what they did this summer in the weight room?
I am. I think the guys have worked hard, you know. They just got to get used to playing in the heat and probably playing at a little different tempo, dealing with me. And, you know, if he's one crosses white lines, it's on. And if they don't like it, they can find somewhere else to play.
Got to be careful. You could hurt someone's feelings, Kelly, talking like that.
Well, not everybody's going to get a medal like that.
Anyways, but yeah, so that was him today. Again, different aspect of offense. I think you're going to see a lot of bunch formation, a lot of in the eye, a lot of running, a lot of screen plays, not so much down the field as you're accustomed to seeing. So that's the Chip Long offense. Tomorrow we get Clay Bignell, that's the defensive coordinator, and kind of get to talk to him and kind of piece his mind about where he thinks that unit is in the after summer ball.
He sounded, Coach Long, sounded a little Will Hall-esque there in the way that
he did.
If you wouldn't have known, you could have thought, gosh, that sounds a lot like Will Hall, just in his delivery and whatnot.
So we're going to hear from Tate Rodemaker here in just a few minutes. I sort of get the impression from what I'm listening to you guys say and listening to Andrew Abbott and all the people that know a lot more than me, that we think Rodemaker is going to be the starter. We think you're going to have a second quarterback to come in running situations, perhaps inside the 20, perhaps. Is that the way you see it?
I don't think that he's the bona fide starter as of now. I think Ethan Crawford is just as in line with that starting position. The difference is, to me, and the reason I think a lot of people think Rodemaker is in line to be the starting quarterback, is Ethan Crawford's ability is a little bit different than Rodemaker. Obviously, he's more of a dynamic quarterback, so you like him more in the shotgun, whereas Rodemaker is that guy who can take the I formation, hand the ball off, or roll out and throw it to the tight end, where Ethan Crawford's looking to do something with his legs. If it's not there with his legs, he's going to throw it downfield. So Ethan Crawford within this offense might not make the most sense to be the starter, but I still think if I were going to put the pieces down, I would make Ethan Crawford the starter just because of his running ability. That, to me, just adds a whole other element to the game.
What do you like better, Kelly? You like a quarterback that could get back in the pocket and throw it up the field?
Yes.
Or you like a kid that's going to run first, and if I can't run, then I'm going to throw the ball?
The only problem that quarter, and I'm not saying that Crawford is this way, but the problem that running quarterbacks tend to have is they don't read their progressions long enough. They hit the panic button a little.
Quick to run.
They are. Yeah. They're quick to run, which causes damage to their body. You know, they risk themselves when they run like that. Whereas the passer is going to make sure that all of his reads are read, and then necessarily, but from a practical standpoint, it doesn't seem logical to me that Rodemaker would come here, you know, without at least some kind of assurance that he's going to get on the field, you know, particularly what he had going at Florida State. Again, I don't have any proof of that, but it just, as you said, Bob, it just makes sense. Logic would dictate that to me.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Tate Rodemaker. We're all going to hear from also from Danis Jackson, a transfer from Missouri by way of Ole Miss, by way of Summerall. And toward the end of that interview, you are going to question the judgment of this young man, but I'll wait and let you hear that. It was pretty stunning, and I was feeling real good about him till the last part of the interview. We'll have more on that when we come back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Campus Book Mart sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. It's a great place to go. I think they're open. I'm not sure if they're open on Sunday anymore, Kelly. Do you know the answer to that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did they ever let Miss Kathleen go home?
I don't know. No, she sleeps downstairs a lot of nights. Actually. That's actually the truth. Yeah, that's actually the truth. Great place, though, obviously, to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. Lots of football stuff coming in. Still lots of baseball stuff there as well. And a great, great selection of polo shirts, all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the freshmen coming in for orientation, and I know that that's like one of their first stops with the freshmen is to make sure you got all your clothes.
Right, right. And you can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Be sure to tell her that Kelly and Bob said hello to Miss Kathleen the next time you walk in Campus Bookmart. All right, lots of talk, of course, about Southern Miss football right now, and a lot of talk around the quarterback. The quarterback's always the glamour spot, isn't it, Kelly?
And really what we were talking about in the first segment is what a lot of the other Sun Belt coaches were talking about when I asked them about Southern Miss. I don't think they anticipate that either one is going to be the quote-unquote starter. I think they expect to see a steady dose of both of them.
Well, one of them fighting for that job to transfer from Florida State. His name is Tate Rodemaker, and Kelly talked to him just yesterday.
Okay, Tate, early in the going, what do you think?
Solid practice today. I like getting back out there with the guys, just at least the helmet on. Feels good. It was kind of a slow day. Everybody's trying to get back in shape, you know. Me including, I caught a little cramp there at the end, but I think we did some good things, got some things to learn on. We're just doing install one right now, so there's not much we got. But I think it was an overall solid day.
Tell me about how you have adjusted to this playbook and some of the more difficult things and how they compare, differ, you know, from what you're used to.
Yeah.
You're a coach's kid, so, I mean, you're used to this.
Yeah, yeah. I learned defense when I was coming up, and I was an offensive player, DC. But Yeah, it's an NFL-style playbook. It's a lot harder to learn than some of these college playbooks. The school I came from, it was a lot easier than what it is here. But it's a lot more detailed and helps you understand the plays a lot more better and what you're supposed to do. So even though the plays get long and you got to remember it all, it's definitely better.
It seemed like almost worked exclusively on the passing game today.
Oh, yeah. He has some great concepts that just open up. There's always going to be a receiver open, so it's really fun playing for them.
The phrase I heard more than anything else today was body language, stay up, educate us.
I've been preached that my whole life since high school. Just if you're tired, don't show it. You don't want the other team seeing that you're tired and knowing. So we just try to stay up and not bend over or anything when we're tired. So it makes us tougher.
I mean, the quarterback is the sexy position, right? I mean, you're either the hero or the goat usually. How have you dealt with that as an athlete younger and now that you're at Southern Miss?
You just got to keep your head down. Don't listen to others and just take it day by day. That's what I do. Don't get too high. Don't get too low on anything. So just take it day by day.
What are you working on your skill set now? You're obviously an older guy, have a little bit of experience, but there's always room for improvement. So what do you want to work on?
These younger guys are out here a lot faster than me right now. I used to be fast back in high school, but I've slowed up a little bit. So I'm trying to be able to get back to scrambling and stuff so I can open up some plays.
I know that all these preseason prognostications, it's more for entertainment and all that sort of stuff, but a lot of Southern Miss fans going, I just don't see it. I just don't see, you know, where people say that the Eagles are going to be as not as good as people might think. Have you guys thought anything about it?
Coach Hall spoke on it a little bit, and Coach Long, that how low people are putting us, but I think we're going to surprise a lot of people with this team. We got a lot of players. I think it's going to be fun.
So ultimately, who's going to win this quarterback job? I mean, not the person, but what skills are going to be the determining factor?
Just the guy who can go out there and get everything right and do what Coach Long wants him to do.
Okay. So far, so good?
So good.
All right, Tate. Welcome to Hattiesburg.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
All right, one of the young men that Rodemaker hopes to be throwing the football to is Dennis Jackson. He's a local kid that played at Ole Miss, then Missouri, and is now a Golden Eagle.
Dennis Jackson, you are back home, yes, where sir. I have always wanted you to be. But tell me about that decision to finally pull the trigger and come back home.
I mean, it was a pretty easy decision for me because, I mean, obviously it's home. I get to play for my town, and then just the opportunity to get on the field and make plays.
All right, when Coach Hall was telling us yesterday on our show, that he mentioned to you a couple times, you got to become one of us. What does that mean, Dennis? How did you interpret that?
Well, the moment I decided to come here, he was telling me that, and then I told him that wouldn't be a problem. I mean, just becoming the team, that's easy for me. You know what I'm saying? Just coming out here and do what I'm supposed to do, try to be a leader if I can.
So early in the game, how do you feel about your game? How do you feel about this team's game early on?
I mean, it's first practice, you know, everybody a little tired, stuff like that. But play-wise, I think everybody is coming together, the offense is coming together. I think I'm learning it really well, so everything's going good.
Help, now I know you have known you since you were a little kid, but a lot of Southern Miss fans may not. Tell us about your skill set. What do you like about your game? What are some things that you're going to try to specifically improve upon day by day going forward?
Well, I think I have quickness and speed, obviously, but I need to work on, you can never get too good at routes. I think I'm pretty good at running routes, but like I said, you can never be too good at it. Catching the ball consistently, don't think I'm bad at that, but you can always be better, you know what I'm saying? So improving on those things, just working on those things every day.
You and a lot of other guys on this team, just great athletes, period. All right, so you in particular, I know, were also a tremendous baseball player and probably would have had some choices to go the baseball route. When some guys would make that decision to go the baseball route, you went the football route. Mm-hmm. Take me through that decision-making process, why you decided upon football.
Well, honestly, I chose football because, I felt like it came more natural to me at the same time, but I feel like baseball, major leagues, you got to go through the minors, take a little longer, things like that. I just thought football would be the quicker and safest way to go.
Do you think every guy wants to play? I mean, is that a stupid question? Does every guy that plays football want to play in the league? Does every guy that plays baseball want to play in the league?
No, not at all. There's guys who want to be lawyers, doctors, different type of things like that. But you know, my dreams and goals, aspirations is to be in the NFL. But, like, if that doesn't work, you know, I'll find something that, you feel me, that I can make a living.
There were a lot of working on passing today. Is that a precursor to what we might see during the season? Is this offense going to be a lot more wide open than maybe people think?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're going to obviously mix in the run game, but once they, you feel me, play that, we're going downfield with the ball.
Okay, and then ultimately, Dennis, let's say, you know, you're 10 years down the road, whether you play in the league or whether you don't, then what? I mean, what do you want to be doing in 15 years, 10 years?
Hey, I want to be kicking my feet up, trying to learn how to play a little golf, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. That's where I'm trying to get a little money in my pocket.
So you're a golf guy?
I mean, I enjoy, like, going out there. I'm not good at golf, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not,
like,
either. Right?
I think when I get older and I'm done doing stuff, I think I will become a golf guy for sure.
What about now you've been coached by a lot of good ones at Ole Miss, Missouri, now at Southern Miss. But clearly, the best coach you ever had in any sport would be who?
Kelly Center.
For sure.
I got you, man.
Is it even close?
It's not even close.
Okay, well, Dennis, we're looking forward to seeing you guys work this year. And thank you for the kind words. I know you were joking, but welcome back to where you belong.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, well, this young man had me sold until the last 20 seconds of the interview, and then I really had to question his judgment.
Well, talk about a setup, man.
Yeah.
That, you know,
how much did that cost you? Was it a 20 spot?
Any further comment will have to come from the president. But
you coached him in Little League Baseball.
I did. He was one of my Oak Grove Mojo players and just a tremendously gifted center fielder. Great arm. Never dropped a fly ball. Was always underneath it. One of those really unique talents. Like I said, he could have gone the baseball route. You know, Summerall, a very strong baseball school, has won many high school state championships, and he's built a lot like Todd Pinkston. You know, he's real angular, he's tall, real slender. So he's going to be a tough out for some of these guys.
You
on
know,
the
these two
field.
Interviews are just, I think, emblematic of the world of college football right now. We're talking to two kids that everybody thinks they're going to play a big role. This time last year, nobody knew anything about them. They were both playing somewhere else, and now here they are all of a sudden. That's just where we are, isn't it?
And I think in the maturity process, and this is just my impression of Dennis. He didn't say anything about this, but, you know, sometimes as athletes, you get attracted by the allure of, you know, all these flashing lights with these big schools, but then you go, you know what, maybe I –
home ain't so bad.
Yeah, I don't necessarily fit here. This isn't where I need. Right. And as you mature, you know, you kind of come to that realization and have the maturity to say, I don't care what everybody else thinks. This is where I need to be, and this is where I'm going to go.
Do you feel like recruiting might take a step back as far as the importance of recruiting freshmen, though?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I just think of, like, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, when you'd bring in a freshman and, like, year one, you were kind of doing the whole thing. Freshman year two was like, well, if they pop, then that, you know, they're going to be really good. But it was year three that you were like, this player, this is their year, you know. And now it's just, well, who we got next coming in, you know. Right. So it's just kind of.
Hey, real quickly, do you have a puke report from campus? I know you said you've watched.
Yeah, we're 2 for 2.
Puke.
2 for 2. 2 for 2 on fall camp.
Two days of puking.
2 days of puking.
Or as we used to call it in Iowa, the Technicolor grin.
We're off to a good start. We'll be.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
FYI, we had a listener come in the studio during the break and said he had heard what I said about being impressed with Dennis Jackson until the end of the interview, and he conferred. He absolutely came in the studio to confer that, did he not?
Yeah, and what is Dennis supposed to say, right? Bless his heart.
Yeah.
He, you know, it's like, it didn't cost him anything, and it made me feel good.
Speaking of fans, tomorrow is
Fan Friday.
Woo!
Fan Friday. So get your questions ready.
It's also Catfish Friday at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
It is, and I'm glad you reminded me of that, because being from the Delta, I know a lot about catfish. You could say I'm a catfish expert.
Do they drink PBR in the Delta?
Oh, hell yeah. What do you think? They drink PBR everywhere except at your house, brother.
I'm going to have to change
Perrier that. Perrier water and fine sparkling wine.
Yes, the Fiji yeah. water.
With Biff, yeah. Tad, and Muffy. Yeah.
He sits around in his pink outfit and drinks Cabaret.
Yes. With a cucumber on yes. the
Jeeves, lawn. Jeeves, another one, please.
Okay, enough. Okay. Troy University has a new football coach. Thank God I have something to go to here. His name is Gerard Parker, and Dima talked to him earlier. And here's a kind of a quick preview of what to expect from the new coach and the Troy Trojans.
Dima Mixon here on the Southern Miss Golden Eagle Hour, Super Talk Eagle Hour here with Coach Gerard Parker of Troy University. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's good to start the morning.
Yeah, so down here in New Orleans, first year as with the reins behind the Troy athletic program. How's the spring been? How's the off season been? Walk us through the off season and kind of your way of becoming head coach.
Well, I guess for me and all my past working for other guys, you split the year up into four quarters, right? And I think for us, the season's the fourth quarter. And there's a big piece of this since January. You're going through that piece where you're doing off-season training. You're acquiring as much talent as you can to support your roster in spring practice. And, of course, our summer season, getting ready with camps, but also serving our team. So it's been a whirlwind, to answer your question. I mean, there's so much that goes into this with hirings, with acquiring guys for your roster, spring football, OTAs, you name it. And that's what we signed up for. I mean, this is something I've dreamed of doing. I'm certainly been very, very busy. I cannot believe we're here. I told my wife this past weekend, I'm like, babe, summer is over. So it's fun, but I think everybody is completely itching for and getting ready for college football, and we are too. This is what we work so hard for. So it's been an exciting time, but it's been fast. It's been a fast 6-7 months.
Walk us through your coaching experience and just kind of how you became the head coach at Troy.
Yeah, it's been a long ride. I really think back, not to get too lengthy with every stop, but I'll say that, you get done as a graduate assistant. Me and my wife get married. You're trying to figure out where you're going and what you're doing. We started out in high school football and loved it, and at Raceland High School, and then we bounced back in GA and got our first break in college football at UT Martin with Coach Simpson, who's still there, and done a fine job. And I think every experience to marshal from there and all the head coaches as we went has given us the ability to see it through a lot of different lenses and how a lot of great men do it. I've been fortunate to be at places like Penn State with Coach Franklin and seen, and I've been on record to say how he promotes the program and runs it. And he endorses that and does that in such a way that clearly he has the talent for it. And I think David Cutcliffe was a great break for me because of Coach Cutt's vocabulary, how he designed practices and supported what it means to really develop a quarterback in a system, because everything has to start there. And I think just Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame was a huge step for us in just seeing that program and how it's run and the passion of that fan base and being able to be around a media that supports it day in and day out. So I think it's just a growth pattern of how you see other people do it that at least gives you the best chance of being ready for something like this. I tell people all the time, there's not a guarantee, but it gives you the best chance because you've seen a lot and done a lot, and hopefully that at least gives you a couple extra steps in preparing for this.
Awesome. Coach, let's just go through your team here. Start with quarterbacks. Obviously, quarterback battle there down there in Troy. Goose Crowder's kind of the guy who people are kind of looking at because he kind of got his feet wet last season. But kind of where do you – I know you don't put pen and paper now. It's July. But what do you kind of see from your quarterbacks?
Yeah, we've got a lot still to see, which is always exciting. We'll go into fall camp with an open mind and to see both those guys. They prepared very well between Goose and Tucker. Obviously, Matthew Caldwell got added to us as well as a transfer that we're really excited about to have numbers, and Caleb McCreary came to us as a true freshman. So that room, we went through spring with two quarterbacks, and so to now allow those guys to have some depth to be able to run real areas of 7-on-7 and routes on air periods and all those things is critical to your growth, not only for your quarterbacks, but for your skill players. So we're excited about that competition. I think it'll be fun to watch those guys go at it because it'll start quickly. I'm excited to see where they both are. They're both great kids. They both study hard. They both have demanded and earned the respect and trust of their teammates. And I think if you do that, you've got a chance, because the big piece of that's winning over your locker room.
Yeah, and it just feels like with every team, there's always some kind of quarterback battle. Is that just because of NIL transfer portal nowadays?
I think so. I think also, to be fair, it's one spot. Yeah, you know, if you think back and track just the world we're all in since the beginning of this game, mm-hmm. that's a one-spot deal with one ball. So your competition's always going to be high. Those guys, if they're wired right, clearly want to be the guy in that huddle to do it on Saturdays. So I think it's a healthy thing, and there's only one spot for it. There's not a lot of ways to squeeze a guy in, and it's very difficult to play to. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's why you see such a healthy competition all the time in that spot.
Are you a guy who kind of likes a two quarterback system, or do you want to go with one guy for the whole season?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be fair and give you an honest answer, you want to know who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all, you know, people will try to play that answer with you as you go, but let's be fair. I think you want to know who it is and let that guy get all he needs to get with timing, leadership qualities and all those things, and take those reps and earn that respect through practice and games. That's ideally what you got to have. And there's been times in my past as a coordinator and or position coach where we've had to play two. And if you do, you do. But if we have a choice, you want to know who your guy is.
All right. I'm going to ask you the same question I did yesterday. Your thoughts about this gentleman that you met?
He was very strong, very kind of relaxed. It was a very relaxed interview. Obviously, Troy, man, they were replacing a ton of players, a ton of roster turnover. And if we had time and play the end of it, he discussed that at length. But I can just tell you that it was the same as the South Alabama head coach. He wasn't afraid of saying that. He was like, we got positions that I don't even know how good they're going to be until they start playing. And, I mean, that's the position. That's kind of the general sense about every position, but especially for players who have no experience playing in your university, playing with your system, playing, and you have a new head coach. I think, Kelly, Troy in South Alabama might not be, and I know we've said this, but they might not even be close to as good as people are thinking they are.
I agree, and that could be the case, but for people to just throw out these prognostications, but, you know, like I said, and I try to see it through clear eyes. Obviously, I'm a Southern Miss fan, but based on experience, the Eagles have got a lot more than either of those two teams, but yet they're projected to finish below those two teams. And it is no coincidence that two of the top teams in the West, Texas State and Arkansas State, both have solid, clear-cut number one quarterbacks. There's no doubt who the quarterbacks are going to be, barring injury, of course, at Texas State and Arkansas State. So you don't think that's important? And that's why he was saying, man, I'd sure like to know who my quarterback is.
Yeah.
And that brings us back to our team. I mean, do you think Coach Hall's philosophy is different, that he's not maybe seeing it quite as importantly to know exactly who your guy's going to be as this coach expressed?
I think Will wants to start a quarterback who's going to put his team in the best ability to win a football game. Whether or not that's Rodemaker or Crawford, he's going to play a guy who isn't risky, so that's why I think John White's pretty much out of the picture. But to play a player who has experience, he knows he can trust the offense in, and he's going to stick with that guy barring anything else. And so I don't know if that means you could see the other guy maybe come in red zone situations or certain plays. Maybe so, but he's going to stick with one guy because he knows how important this season is, and there just can't be any – there's not any room for any experimental stuff where you're doing one week with this guy, one half with this guy, whatever it is. You know, you got to pick your guy and just go with him.
But he also believes, and again, reasonably, that it's tougher to prepare a team's defense when you're not sure which of the two quarterbacks you're going to have to face more than the other. So it is problematic for a defense trying to scheme against Southern Miss.
All right, so the guys put on the pads and start hitting each other tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be shells, so it's not full pads, but hopefully they start hitting. I don't know if they'll be tackling, but they will be hitting each other.
Yeah, so there should be a lot of puking tomorrow to report on.
Might be three for three.
There we go.
The chunk-o-meter or something.
Yeah.
And then they'll be in full regalia next Tuesday. Full uniform.
Yeah, that'll be tackling.
No more two-a-days, right?
No more.
They do that in the NFL still, Kelly, two-a-day practices.
I don't even think they do it there, Bob.
Really?
Yeah.
They practice and then go back and count their money. all evening until the next day, correct?
Well, they count. They call their guy who's counting it for them.
Their people.
Yes.
They call their people.
So. They just take a salt tablet, rub some dirt on it, and get back in there.
I'm sure they do.
They did in the Delta when you were growing up, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. All right, we'll be back and wrap up this edition of the Eagle Hour next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank 4th Street Bar and Grill for all they do on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Grateful to Slade and those guys. And as we tuck you every day, it's just a great place to go get some good food and a cold drink and enjoy Southern Miss sports. Also want to thank DBAT on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball, softball training for every child in your family who wants to be the very best they can be. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. One more question about football, and we'll move on. And we've kind of made fun about kids being sick and throwing up in the humidity. Do you see that mostly with the big guys, the linemen, or is that universal across the team?
I've only seen it with the linemen, probably just because of how much they're carrying, not to mention when those pads come on. Not going to mention any names, obviously, right. But yeah, just definitely the linemen. I saw some of the defensive backs also struggling. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, Dreek Clark yesterday was his calves were cramping up. Mm-hmm. And when Dreek's calves cramp up.
That's a cramp.
that is a...
Of course, you know, you can go by Kelly's house any Saturday night around 12 o'clock if you want to see puking.
Yeah, not from that though, Dima.
His neighbors generally complaining about it in the front yard.
And I just want to be clear that next Tuesday when our guys start hitting each other at practice, it will be men hitting men.
Yes, and speaking of that, Kelly, I'm really interested in your opinion about this. Of course, a lot of furor over the Olympics yesterday, where you had a transgender man pummel a young woman in boxing, for God's sakes, and 46 seconds she lasted, and she quit because, I mean, this guy was just pounding her to death. And you know what I felt bad about? And I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. I felt bad for her. How much time and effort did this young woman put into training to make the Italian Olympic boxing team? There's just no telling. And then her debut in the Olympics, and she's got to fight a guy. Kelly Sander, how can anyone think that's fair?
I don't know. The Olympic Committee, obviously makes those decisions, and I don't know.
You know, she started crying at the end of it. You knew why she was crying, not because she had been hit, because everything Dima she had worked for just got thrown out of the window by bureaucrats.
That's right. It's just sad. It really is. Just for her. I mean, and. It should never happen. I mean, it doesn't make logical sense on any stretch of the imagination. And I'm not saying I'm against people who are like that, but, like, man, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just sad to see.
It's unfair. And in boxing, Kelly Sander, somebody could get killed.
Right.
Some young woman could be killed.
Oh, well, and they, the Olympic Committee, would have to live with that. Of course, the alternative would be, all right, our team is not going to go if you're going to allow those rules. I mean, that's really all you can do.
Right.
But then you're punishing other athletes. It's obviously a very tough, complicated, multifaceted predicament, right?
Yeah.
Because I heard people talk about the controversy of the opening ceremonies. You know, Celine Dion was the champion of the opening ceremonies, in my opinion. But, I'm just going to boycott the Olympics. I hear you. I get it. And that's your right to do that. But we've got American athletes that worked really, really hard. They had nothing to do with any of that. So what do? Do you boycott the Olympics and turn your back on our athletes that have worked so hard? It's a tough question.
I think the people in charge have to start exercising some common sense. And you don't let men box young women.
And you know, there are some countries that we do not consider to be very friendly to our country that have said, if that's the way it's going to be, we're not going.
Yeah.
And and they didn't. You
well, know, on a brighter note, when you were listening to Celine Dion, is that how you
pronounce it? Celine Dion.
Can I ask, what were you wearing?
Dima, I think Dima just knocked himself out on his microphone.
I just knocked myself on
the
mic.
He hit his head on the microphone.
I think I was wearing my Megadeth t-shirt, my underwear, like I always do when I walk around the house.
We were talking about puking every time I think of Kelly in any kind of clothing, Speedos, salmon shorts. We're 4 for 4 this week. So. Yeah,
well, let me put it to you this way, Dima. When Kelly built his house in his new neighborhood, within a week, all the neighbors had pitched in and bought him those really nice blinds.
Blackout blinds.
You could block out blinds to block out the windows.
I thought that was really nice. They said it was a housewarming gift. You know, I thought that was just really, really nice.
There's like I went by his house to pick up that recorder, and there's a sign out front that says, do not look on the porch, whatever you do, because you don't know what you're going to see.
Hey, it's my little private Idaho.
That's right.
You know?
It is. Well, I can only repeat that we literally had a listener come in the studio and question the thought process of Dennis Jackson after he heard that interview.
And again, Dennis, poor Dennis. Or as we say, bless his heart. You know, he got set up and he took the bait.
You gotta like that though, kids that you knew growing up.
Oh, I love these guys. Dennis is just such a great kid.
The kids that you coach, I've learned, never leave your life.
And I kept, you know, and Dima can relate to this. You keep your distance, right, at practice to respect their privacy, but also you don't want to get run over by one of these guys if a play is coming that way. So I'm probably 40 feet from where Dennis was standing. But he happened to catch my eye and smiled, waved, and came out of what he was doing and came over to me and just said, you know, Coach, gave me a big hug. How you doing?
That makes the coaching worth it.
It does, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Patrick McGee returns tomorrow. We'll talk a little NFL football. We always like that.
Also going to talk about the first time the fans are going to be able to look at this Golden Eagle football team up close.
Sounds good. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.